Nibiru, Planet X. What kind of catastrophe when it comes by? We'll continue talking with Bob Fletcher about that, and we'll take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Back, Bob Fletcher with us. We'll take your calls. His DVD is called Incoming. Bob, you discovered some kind of warning from the Space and Science Study Group that was sent to the president. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, that was kind of interesting. Like many of them that have been drifting around from high-level people, there's a scientific nonprofit organization. Actually, they're based out of, I think, Orlando, Florida. And about a year ago, they notified the president with totally a separate but a very specific, a non-requested study, and they said basically, Mr. President, we want to warn you that we have done our calculations, et cetera, and that the Earth is heading towards a period of time, in only a short period of time, where we're going to be experiencing climatic conditions that are going to be non-reversible for a long period of time, et cetera, et cetera. Now, they didn't mention Nibiru as a cause. Some of these organizations, even if they were pretty sure that was what it was, they won't say much. But they were, of course, this was reflected only about 9-10 months later. Again, this is maybe a year ago this was sent out, where we have this extraordinary winter. And it is a global thing. You know, and most of us don't do this. We don't pay attention to what goes on in Malaysia and Russia and China in terms of the weather. But the global condition of the weather has been record-breaking at least for like 4 years. And then, of course, we saw what happened in our winter here. Nibiru is sort of functioning, I call it kind of the bowling ball effect. And as it returns, with all of its the gravitational effects and the electromagnetics involved with it, and of course the physical effect of crashing its way back through from the outer reaches of our own solar system, it's affecting already, as I mentioned earlier, all of the planets. They're changing, they're becoming atmospherically perturbed by some very radical element, and of course it is Nibiru.
And it's affecting other planets in the solar system too, not just ours.
Correct. And as a matter of fact, just in March 26th, which amounts to like a month ago, if you will, there was another research group that came out, a group of Russian and American scientists together, and they said for some reason, whether they know it or not, they're not mentioning Nibiru, but they're saying that for some reason there's an entire a layer of warm something covering the atmosphere in Venus. They don't know what it is. And by the way, this is something, if you look up unexplained warming of Venus, if you just put that in your computer, you can find this yourself. It took place March 26th. And it's a press release that basically says something is causing some strange temperature variables going way up and turning the entire surface into the chemical alteration of what they're able to measure using satellites and et cetera. And this is above and beyond what we had already put in our DVD, which amounted to being done, 9 months ago when it was finished, that all of the planets have been affected one way or another. Now, we watch the sun. The sun has been going through extraordinary, record-breaking electromagnetic force fields, breaking off and shooting into outer space, holes being generated on the surface of the sun that they don't understand. They simply say they see it, and it's gigantic. When you look at these outbreaks of solar flares compared to the size of the Earth, they dwarf the Earth. It's like a flea on the back of a small dog or something. It's unbelievable in the size of these things, an interesting point, which we also covered in our DVD as part of the politics of this thing. We found out that Janet Napolitano, that former head of Homeland Security, and also James Woolsey, the head of CIA for many years, both of them quit about a year ago, left their positions. And for some strange reason, they both felt it was necessary to give a global warning and saying that electromagnetic forces will be striking the Earth, and if we're not prepared for them, it's going to be devastating. Now, again, neither one of them indicated it was Nibiru, but that's because these people at that level and in NASA have been told, do not talk about Planet X, because if you do, it's a top secret, above top secret news, and you're not to release it. So they don't talk about that, but they do come out and talk about the AMF. And what they said was, it's not a matter of if it will happen, it's a matter of when, and they both indicated it would be in a short period of time. Now, again, this is an aggravation of the face of the sun because of the incoming of Nibiru. And again, it's this multitude of unbelievable records being broken. Only a few weeks ago, the biggest landfall hurricane or typhoon struck over near Malaysia or someplace,
sure.
And it was like 200 and something mile an hour winds hit one island and just erased it, just cleaned it off. If you're not looking at it, if you're not snooping into the unusual, you'll miss it because it's not going to be on the evening news, that's for sure.
Well, Zechariah Sitchin, of course, pointed out, as we mentioned in his work, about Nibiru after his interpretation of the Sumerian messages and texts.
Correct.
They left a message for us, Bob. They told us that this planet is out there. It comes around. The flood of Noah was probably responsible for it.
I'm sure, and I'm sure that that's correct.
Okay.
And after looking at Sitchin's work, you know, you can always disagree with opinions and what have you. A lot of people say, oh, that was baloney, you know. But again, when you put all the dots together, you know, if there's somebody out there that can genuinely look me in the face and explain why our government at the high level, the shadow government, has put billions and trillions into underground facilities, if you can give me a good reason that it is not the returning of Nibiru, I would like to know what it is, because then I've made a mistake. And I would love to be wrong about this.
I understand.
But I'm afraid. I am afraid the bottom line is, in a short period of time, and we have an estimated date of arrival, in a short period of time, it is going to pass by again close, and it's not.
What is that estimated date?
I believe I agree with two or three groups that have been studying this for so long. And the earliest potential returning date where it actually will be first seen in the sky in December, and again, this is relative
of this year.
Of this year, and it will be seen as a star. It'll be coming, it'll of course obviously get larger on a monthly basis, and then by, it'll be December, and then January, February, and then March and April will be the period of time we'll be closest, causing the most radical effect on our Earth itself. Now, here's the caveat on that. If in fact it is not being seen by this December, it's probably will be the next December, because the apparent normal return, according to biblical scriptures and scriptures of the emperors of China, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all of them seem to be passing close by during what they refer to as the Passover, or the time of March and April, around that period of time. And again, it's a couple months coming in, once it's seen in December. And when it was tracked by the Emperor of China 1,000 years ago, one of the passes, it was their their chronology was literally like a week-to-week chronology of it passing through the sky. And again, that corresponds with being seen in December, and then January, February, March, and April, going back on out and around and causing problems. As it comes in, according to not myself, but people that have done the astronomy study and the historics on this thing, when it comes in, we will probably pass through the tail one time when it goes behind the sun, and then we will pass through it a second time when it goes out past the sun, and it has already gone by, and we will go through the tail. The tail of this thing is an unknown factor in terms of shooting falling stars and meteorites crashing to the Earth, which are described in all of these old scriptures very clearly, including the Bible, and you know, killing the soldiers of the during biblical time, etc. That type of problem. Now, people want to know when the worst of it will start. Unfortunately, what will happen probably is at some point, let's say like a January, February period of time, satellites and everything will be shut down by the electromagnetic impulses. And it may, those may even be shut down ahead of time at some point when the solar flares from the surface of the sun become so aggravated that they leap out and wipe across the Earth. Once that happens, now this is what Napolitano and Wolseley were talking about from the CIA, what they were talking about, when the flares are big enough to affect our electronics, first thing will happen, obviously, would be all the satellites will be fried, and that's the end of every form of communication, since now we are totally dependent. Then, in a short period of time following that, and actually we may be talking just a few days, the electronics of the globe could be totally wiped out.
Jeez.
End of electronics. And what
we've been talking about here, Bob. You're right. You're absolutely right.
And the worst of it, George, is, and which is something that I can't wrap my head around as well as I would like it to, but when you really think about it, for the individual person on the ground, think about the few times when we've had power out, and even in New York City or some of the big cities, we had it out the other day in Washington.
Yes, you did.
Interesting
we did.
Situation there. But anyhow, when the power goes out, we no longer have anything. We have put ourselves in a position to be totally dependent
right.
on a flowing electronic.
Well, look what happened. Even retail through Amazon.com, Netflix, everything
well, yeah,
goes.
Yeah, and of course that's,
everything
yeah,
goes.
And that's one side of it. The real serious part with the guy that's not doesn't even buy online, if you don't have electricity for 20 years because all of the generators have been overloaded, all of the transmission wires have been burnt.
And we don't have any backup transformers.
We have nothing. We have no police. You'll have no food. Any food that's in the grocery store, they did this thing the other day. They did a serious study of how long did it take, like in a bad hurricane. It's like 5 hours once the realization is that power's going to be off for a while.
And then looters,
all the food was
riots,
going out of the groceries.
Everybody goes, Bob, let's take some calls here for you, too. Let's go to David in San Diego, first-time caller. David, welcome to the program. You're on with us. Go ahead.
Thank you. Oh, good evening.
Hi.
I was curious. The original question I had, he already answered, so I have a backup question.
You
I was
got
curious.
It.
I'm not sure if this would be calculatable, but the width of that tail, since it's an unknown, could we have a guesstimate of how long... Yeah. Would it be days or weeks at the two times when we pass through it, the duration?
Okay, well, in fact, it is measurable. And, of course, it's only a calculation in reference to calculating the size to be somewhere between 5 and 7 times the diameter of the Earth. So they can do a measurement on that. The obviously, the tail would approximate right at the width of that planet passing and dragging the junk around behind it when we pass through what is going to be an extraordinary meteor storm, a meteor shower, whatever you want to call it, when you pass through all that junk. It will take, according to the experts, I believe the estimate was that it would take an hour to pass through the tail, depending again on the angle, the angularity of its approach, and whether it comes in on the plane of the ecliptic, which is the plane of where all of our planets basically are on themselves. If it's on that plane, or if it's coming in 30 or 40 degrees off from a southern direction, which some people are arguing would be the case, that'll change things a little bit. But basically, when we go through it, it will take about an hour to go through it. The Earth, of course, is spinning on a regular basis, we'll be spinning and we'll be exposing many countries to it every time to the front, passing through, so to speak. Then we will go on around. The planet will be, Nibiru would be ahead of us, so to speak, going around the sun, and then it will make its inevitable turn and be dragged back and thrown out into outer space again. That would be, according to experts, it would be about 155 days of travel time between going out around the sun and then coming back out, traveling out in outer space. So it would be about 155 days, and we will go through it, through the tail, one more time to be bombarded a second time. The effects, again, the big one is going to be air, space debris hitting us as meteorites or asteroids or whatever it would refer to at that time, space junk. That's going to be serious. But prior to that, we may already be in the dark because of failed electricity. And the rest of it, of course, is the gravitational effect. You know, we forget a little bit, I think on a regular basis, the sun and the moon is what affects our tides on a daily basis. And those are very small gravitational effects, with the moon quite a distance out and not very big compared to Nibiru. But it pulls the water in and out, causing our tides. Now, when you have something that's a solid, dense, which they're assuming that it is by calculation, this dense rock going around the size, five times the size of Earth, the gravitational effect could potentially be exactly what happened during Noah's flood, was that the oceans were literally yanked out of the seabeds and thrown up on the shore. And not counting the potential tsunamis, like the one that we saw a couple of years ago when it wiped out two or three parts of the Far East, with that one tsunami that was set up only by a medium-sized earthquake in the ocean. When we have a multitude of school bus-sized space junk hitting into the oceans all around the globe, we will have tsunamis that are going to be immeasurable.
Bob, we're going to come back and take some final phone calls with you next on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to come back in a moment and take final phone calls with Bob Fletcher as we talk about Planet X. He thinks it's right around the corner. Okay, back with you, Bob Fletcher, our special guest, as we talk about Nibiru. His DVD, by the way, and it's a big one, 4 hours long. It's called Incoming, the only expose of the incoming of Nibiru. And let's go back to the phones here, Bob. Let's go to Tom in Seattle, Washington. Go ahead, Tom. Good to have you with us.
Good. I'm glad to be here. First-time caller. The reason why I think your call screen let me through is because I talked to Mr. Gil Broussard approximately 2.5 hours this past Monday after I got the information. A lot of what your guest is saying is right in line with what Mr. Broussard was explaining to me. Basically, the number that he gives is 7X, which means seven times the size of Earth, and he bases this on research done in China while he was there for 9 months on the Chinese text that your guest was talking about.
Sure.
And basically the idea is this, and he's right, that there's a point at time around the March 26th time frame where we're going to be very close to this thing, and it's going to have a detrimental effect on the Earth. And basically, a lot of people say a flip of the poles. It's not a total flip. It's only a tilt of about 26 to 28 degrees, and he determined this from Scripture, the sun moving backwards in Scripture in the Old Testament.
Doesn't take much to create some havoc here, does it?
Right, and it will create some havoc, and then it's not going to leave us there. We're going to tip. But because of the Earth, you've heard of the concept of the electric universe?
Yes.
Okay, based on that, what's going to happen is as it comes by, it's going to cause a flip. It will then bypass and go on its way. The sun is going to rewrite us back to where we're supposed to be or very close. It will do some damage along the low coastal lines. But alongside of that, it's going to be some horrendous wind storms. And basically, the water's going to split north and south. Because it's going to slow the rotation of the Earth, allowing the waters to move back to the poles instead of away from the equator where the majority of it sits now because of the centrifugal force of the rotation. So the guy is really dead on a lot of his stuff. He's actually done a lot of math and science. You should look him up and maybe get another guest on because he can give you so much information that'll just wipe you right off.
What's interesting is so many people are beginning to say, Bob, the same thing.
Right. Well, you know, and again, I tracked it originally, like I say, just starting from a political point of view. I was just trying to figure out what would you do with all this money that they've apparently stolen, you know, and then, of course, it's been going down into the underground facilities, and it's a worldwide thing. And then when you look from that, and then you say, well, what in the world would cause that? Then I was aimed, obviously, towards the Planet X, and I got into Gil Broussard's material. His stuff is great. He really did a good job on it. And the big difference that I was able to moving just away from the science, so to speak, of the astronomy of this thing, and then put together everything else, and it's absolutely nothing else that makes sense. And amazingly, like in the Bible, I'd say there's this fantastic in Revelations. Just literally, what you know, whether you're a Christian or to call yourself something else, it doesn't make any difference. If you refer to the Bible even as a good text for history, the Revelations is amazing because, for one thing, it talks about the effects of a 26-degree tilt, which is apparently what did take place many years ago on the face of the Earth. That's not a lot on one hand, but if it happens in a short period of time, it certainly is going to do a number. And what was amazing, I thought, for myself, is in Revelation 6, 15, 16, it says that the kings and of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong hid themselves away in the caves and the rocks of the mountains. And if that's not what they've ended up doing by digging these underground facilities for themselves, I don't know what is. It's such an amazing description of exactly what has happened going down into building these 103 of these hideouts. Now, there's another problem that I even hate to mention because it's something that nothing to compare it to. But we have about 100 nuclear power generation operations in America. And one or two of those going into a meltdown because it was unable to be cooled properly or something, and it becomes a Chernobyl, in Russia. But if we end up having 40 of them out of 100 go south, I can't imagine the problems that we're going to have with that. And again, that's separate from tsunami waves and all the rest of the possibility of solar flares and what have you. If you add something as catastrophic as 10, 12, or 35 nuclear power plants going south, well, we'd be really in a problem.
Oh,
no wonder they're going under the ground.
Let's go to JR now, truck driving in Virginia. Welcome to the program. JR, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi, George.
Hi.
Great show. I was just curious, how do we know that all this money isn't going to build these facilities just to hide from satellite observation?
I say that again. I'm sorry, all the money what? Say that again.
How do we know all this money that is building these facilities isn't, the facilities aren't being built just to hide from satellite observations?
No, well, first off, it's the numbers the numbers of facilities are extraordinary. Number two, this is being done in China and Russia and Europe, the same as we are. They are doing it for themselves. And in China, for example, they have them so large. And by the way, I have, George, we have live footage and photographs of all of, not all of them, but of many of the facilities on the DVD, so people get a handle of the size of these things. The ones in China are so large that they are hiding away entire battleship fleets, fleets of aircraft, and over 3,000 intercontinental ballistic missiles underground in China in advance. They're already in there, not counting the facilities that have been set up for foods, foodstuffs, and for saving their own lives.
It is going to be one heck of a moment when it comes close, Bob, isn't it?
It certainly will. And again, now we have a manner by which we can be aware of, let's say, when the last ticking of the clock is being moved into position. And that is when they declare martial law in America for any reason whatsoever. And I'm assuming it will be, this is from
just an excuse,
analytical assumptions, this will be a few months before December, all right? Now, whether it's this year or the following year, I'm not positive. Gill thinks it's going to be this year, December, when it's seen. That means they will have to have martial law in effect a couple of months before 100,000 junior astronomers, the amateurs, start seeing this up in the sky. They got to already have control
yes.
of the masses.
And they will. They will report. The amateur astronomers will let us know what's going on,
like crazy. So I mean, you know, once you get something that is familiar to the astronomers that spend all of their time watching the stars, all of a sudden there's going to be a pretty good sized star starting to get larger on a weekly basis. As soon as that happens, they already back off of that. It has to be. They have to have military martial control of all of the Americas, for the most part, before that's a time of visitation. In other words, before it's visibly seen by, like I say, 100,000 amateurs in any given week. They're going to be all over the place. But by the time that happens, they're already going to have martial law. So when you see them coming in with talking about several, let's say, there's three reasons why they'll utilize. One can be something like Ebola or a disease. That might be a reason for martial law. The other might be that this ISIS or any other terrorist group carries out four or five major 9/11 events in the United States, and then that would be perfectly fit, perfectly well for martial law. The other one could be the possibility of the outbreak of what would be considered on the verge of World War III. And, of course, as we've been watching what's going on with Russia and Russia meeting with North Korea and their new petroleum deals with China, we may have a merger with Russia and Korea and or China that could be a good excuse for martial law. So one of those three elements, I believe, I will end up being correct, one of those four elements or three elements will in fact be one of the reasons for acceptable martial law, so that the American people are going to say, oh boy, thank goodness they put the military on the street corners to protect us. And of course the reality will be that within a few months you'll start finding out the real reason on why you can't go out when you want to go out, and that's going to be because of the martial law protecting the elite that have got to get into their holes in the grounds before we
without us find it out. That's right. Let's go to Troy, Ohio. It's Melissa's turn on Coast to Coast. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us.
Yeah. How are you? I had one question in mind, and then I got to thinking, you know, with the tail and all that debris coming at us, there's a verse that states the sun will go black. And then if you're a spiritual believer, that is the time of when Lord is, where things are supposed to be happening. Is it possible for that to knock our sun out? And one other thing, God said that he would never destroy the earth. So this debris stuff, I guess, that's man, or would that be God sending it our way?
Well, of course, you have to look at all those things from your individual religious beliefs.
Correct.
But in terms of, for example, it says in the Bible where the stars will disappear from the sky for a period of time. There can be even a more simplistic reason for that, and that is that if when Yellowstone or two or three volcanoes simultaneously close enough to wherever they happen to be, if we have a serious explosion as the, for example, Yellowstone reactivating and as a super volcano, the dust and dirt and debris from that alone can terminate our vision of the sun, the stars, for a long period of time. Now, it is also written in these transmissions, the old scriptures that have been studied biblically, etc., that in fact the sun will go into, will be a solar eclipse and will be a long time. You know, the one that we have now, which is caused by the moon coming between us and the sun, and that is only for a few minutes, but with a planet passing and all of its junk coming behind it at the size of Nibiru, it would potentially give us a solar eclipse for a very long time, and it would appear for all intents and purposes that the sun had gone black, whereas in fact it will simply be a very large, very long solar eclipse when it happens to pass in that point in between our sight of vision.
You know, a lot of people now, Bob, are beginning to believe that this planet does exist. Far cry from 12 years ago when I was doing this program.
Oh, yeah, certainly. And I've been, let me tell you, George, and by the way, the folks, if you go to my website, which is bobfletcherinvestigations.com, you can get the copy of it, of our four-hour disc for yourself. And I wanted to put out my physical address because I was surprised at how many folks still were not utilizing computers as we anticipate everyone does. So some of our friends that are listening, you can drop me a note at Post Office Box 216, Bayview, Idaho. That's Box 216, Bayview, Idaho, 83803. And the two discs are $24.95. We pay for the shipping. If you want to drop me a note, please do so, and I'll send you a little catalog of the other material that we have on the DVD. But the point is, I have been shocked at the acceptance and the understanding that's already out there about the potential of Nibiru. We had a remarkable reaction when we first put the DVD together and made it available to people. Worldwide, George, the reaction is surprising, and people that have all of their own stories and their own reasons and their understandings of what's going on and that want to know the rest of the story. I was surprised today, as I mentioned it briefly, the president was talking about the climate change, et cetera, and he mentioned something that I had included in the DVD that a lot of people were not aware of, and that is that for the last few months, actually, I guess it's about a year now, that the high tides in Miami Beach, every day the high tide moves into Miami Beach city proper about five blocks. And that is because the water level has raised at the Miami Beach, that level down there, from melting glaciers. And they're melting from, and these are new reports, you know, brand new in the last year or so. The glaciers have been melting from underneath the basic ice cap. And including in Antarctic, this last week, it was 62 degrees in the Antarctic. A record breaker for the first time ever has gotten that warm on a peripheral area of the Antarctic. So the change is already here, and there's a good reason. It's not like that scientists and astronomers can't figure it out. The ones that understand it, like at NASA, have been told to keep their mouth shut or they will be prosecuted because it is a top secret classification.
Well, a lot of people have been hearing hums too, Bob, and I'm wondering if that's construction underground. As Bob mentioned, his website, Bob Fletcher Investigations, linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com, the name of his DVD, Incoming. Fascinating discussion on a topic that a lot of people just didn't accept years ago, but they're starting to talk about it now. Thanks, Bob. When we come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast, we're going to be talking about the state of Jefferson, a proposed U.S. state that would span many parts of southern Oregon and northern California.
Wow.
That's next.
The free Coast Zone email newsletter.